UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, Senator.
Ares 31, me neither.
Or 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
Or 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Emergency 1095. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911, you guys busy?
You would just call about the UFOs, we thought.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
And it is dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. We have two guests sharing encounters tonight, both from the state of Victoria in Australia. First up, we have Kieran with a UFO sighting and a paranormal experience that he had while he was working for a real estate agent taking photographs of a haunted house in the outback. Then we move on to Rhea from Melbourne. One night, she felt the urge and was compelled to go outside, where she witnessed a strange light in the sky. And she will also be talking about her artwork and that she believes are inspired by her experiences and her dreams. But first of all, a big thank you to those who left a 5-star ratings and review on Apple Podcasts, and they are Chappers BCN and Walking Chariot from the UK, Greg Rosario and Commander Cosmos from the USA. Really appreciate it, guys. It helps no end in helping us to become more visible to new listeners and potential guests. And if you get the chance, head over to our podcast website at ufochroniclespodcast.com for episodes, merchandise, and you can also connect with me there to share your encounter. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome, long-time listener Kieran, to the show.
Hello, Nick.
Welcome to the show, man. Great to have you on today.
Thanks for having me on.
You come to us from Victoria, Australia today.
Yeah, northwest, up in the corner of Victoria, Mildura.
You have a few different experiences to share with us today.
Yes, a strange mix. So I'm 45 now, so this is a while ago, so 1993. And I went to uni in university in a place called Bathurst, which is west 3 hours west of Sydney in New South Wales. And I, for the first 6 months there going to uni, I lived on the dormitory. And one night I was out on the balcony with a friend of mine, and it was a full moon, and we were just sitting out there having a smoke and a drink and stuff like that. We weren't wasted or anything. But it was a full moon, so the sky was really, really very bright. And there was we just were both just staring at the moon. We'd been talking, but then we weren't talking for a little bit. And then this black orb it's really hard to tell how far away it was, but it seemed like it was possibly closer to the moon than it was to us. I don't know if that really makes sense. It was just, it was really hard. There was no lights on this object or anything. So it was this perfectly cylindrical orb moved up, and it stopped just below the moon, like a finger's width below the moon from where I was. And then it just stopped. It went straight up vertically and then just froze for a couple of seconds, did a perfect circle, and then moved off perfectly horizontal. And I said to my friend, like I was computing it in my brain, and I said to my friend, did you see that? And she just went, I don't know what I just saw, which is quite, you know, that's the reaction you get with a lot of this stuff, I guess. And so, and that was it. There was one more incident in Bathurst when I was at uni. So I was walking home from uni one night. It was like, must have been a late lecture or something like that. I mean, the great thing about the country is that you can, a lot less light, so you can see for miles. And so there was walking back home, and on the horizon, like way off, I saw maybe 20 or so red orbs slowly rising up in uniform above the horizon, a very long way off. And I noticed it when I was about a minute from home. And so because I was studying media and film and so on, I had a camera at home that I'd borrowed from the university. So I ran back inside and grabbed this video camera. But it was like the early mid-90s, so these cameras couldn't record very well at night at all. And I tried to record it. And there was no one at home, so I couldn't have a fellow witness or anything like that. But I just stayed out there for ages and just watched these red orbs. And the weird thing is, like, because they weren't really doing that much except slowly rising up, I thought this is unidentified, but I've got to find out what this is because I've never seen this. This doesn't make sense. I told a few people in the coming days. The footage didn't turn out at all. Which classic story, really. But I told people this in the coming days, and they someone told me that what kids do is they get a bunch of flares, they tape them to garbage bags and light the flares, and the garbage bags slowly float up. I kind of went, well, that sort of makes sense. That kind of correlates with what I saw. You'd have to have at least 20 or so kids out there, or maybe not 20, but you'd have to have it would have to be a plan to have that many. It was at least 20 out there. Anyway, so that's just a classic unidentified thing I saw. But while I was in Bathurst still, I moved into this house, which had, I was living with five other people or something, you know, student household. It was an old house, really run down, really dilapidated, but, you know, we were young, we didn't care. And one time I was in my room, and the door was closed, and I was working on something. I think I might have been playing guitar because I was making a bit of noise, and then heard the doorknob rattling. So this is moving more into ghost stuff, I guess, and the doorknob rattling and rattling. And I thought, oh, someone's playing a prank on me. And I stopped playing guitar, and I went, come in, and the doorknob stopped rattling, and there was no reaction. I went, oh, okay, that's odd, but someone's just playing a joke. So I went back to what I was doing, and about 10 minutes later, the doorknob started like really rattling again, like shaking back and forth and round and round. And I went, oh, all right, what's going on? I stopped what I was doing and I said, come in. No reaction. So I got up and opened up the door and looked down the hallway. I went throughout the house. I was the only one at home. And there'd always been this perpetual rumor at that house that the owner's daughter had committed suicide in the house, committed suicide in the oven, in the gas oven. And there was an old gas oven sitting out the back, which is probably where the rumor came from. But I thought it must be her. So I thought, I'll go up. I've got the universe. This was the internet had started, but the internet was, you know, about a year old, really, as far as, you know, common usage goes. So there was an internet room at the university, and, you know, you didn't think about going to that for research. So I thought I'll head up to the library and look through old newspaper archives and see if there's any story in old newspapers about this suicide. And so I started walking up to uni. I think it must have been the next day. It wasn't the same day. Along the way, I encountered 6 or 7 dead magpies, you know, like ravens, Australian magpies along the way. And I got to uni and I thought, and it just felt weird. I was like, well, why are all these dead birds? What's, you know, it was like something out of a movie. It was really strange. And so I got to the uni, I couldn't find anything. So, you know, like so many of these things, it all sort of, it's really hard to solve, I guess is the word. I mean, you know, cause we have crappy footage or, you know, just a bit of sound, you know, or just stories from people. It was very, very strange, very strange. I was on uni break, it was summer, and I went back to my mum's place. So she was back near Sydney in a place called Regentville. And she lived in this house. It was fibro, basically a wooden house with a tin roof. Lovely place. And one night I was watching, we have this late night music show called Rage. And it was just a bit of a favorite of anyone in their, you know, as a kid or in their 20s, you just always have it on at night. And it would just play music clip on the late at night watching that. I think it was about 1 in the morning. And I fell asleep on the couch. And then suddenly I heard this, what immediately in my brain thought this was a giant fist coming down onto the tin roof of the house twice, like, and my name being called out, and my name being called out by my mum really loud. And I woke up immediately. And then after that thought, my next thought was, my mum's died. So I get up and I go to check in on my mum in a bit of a panic, but she's fast asleep. She's fine. I pictured she'd had a heart attack and fallen on the floor and died. And she was fine. So I didn't wake her. I kind of went back and went, that was really, really weird to myself, and then went to bed. Then the next morning we get a phone call. My parents are both Irish, so we've all our relatives are in Ireland. Then at about 6 in the morning the next day, we get a phone call from my uncle to tell us that my auntie Jill had passed away. She died in a car crash. And they'd waited, because of the time difference, they'd waited, you know, 5 or 6 hours to call us, because they didn't want to wake us at 3 in the morning and have us up all night. And I hadn't made the connection with the previous evening. It wasn't until later in the day I told mum. It was strange. It was sort of like that. Yes, that happened, and that happened when Jill died. You had that experience, and there was no question about it, as it, you know, not being a thing or a dream or anything. It was a totally very strange and very real and experience that wasn't frightening at all. There was none of these things are frightening. For me, I've never found any of this stuff frightening. So it wasn't like I was scared. Actually, there is one that is frightening, but that'll come later. But yeah, so that was so I was about 19 then. So that's over 25 years ago. That's a while ago. And so then I think probably about 20 years, nothing. And I've been living in a different part of the country now, out near the closer to the desert and stuff, for the last 10 years. There might have been things that have happened, but I don't really remember. Don't really remember seeing things, and I'm always, you know, always keeping my eye out for things in the sky and so on. And because there's a lot less light pollution, you know, you can see a lot more, and it's always great just sitting out staring at the stars. But anyway, this is probably about 5 years ago now. So it's been a 20-year gap really between any witnessing anything or experiencing anything, but that 20 years, most of that time was spent living in the city. So it feels like the city is less likely to have events. I don't know about that, but that's what it feels like. But I got a job as a photographer with photographing houses for real estate, which wasn't top of my list for career moves, but there I was. But what I really liked about it was you kind of left to your own devices, and for a couple of years there, I got to drive all around this region, which is huge, this electorate or whatever. And I'd get to see lots of houses and I'd get to know the area. So it kind of, the job had benefits like that. And, you know, you're left alone to take photos. So it gets very, very hot here. So, you know, in February even, we had 47, 48 degrees Celsius. And so it's not, you know, we're just heading into winter now, so it's getting bitterly cold as well, but it's like desert weather. And so it was the middle of summer one time. I had to go and photograph this house. That it wasn't a really old house. I'm imagining it was built in the 70s or something. But I walked into this house, and it was fairly unremarkable. Like a lot of houses, they're very, like when you get out of town a little bit here, they're separate from each other. They used to be on blocks where you'd grow vineyards with grapes and everything. So they'd, you know, they'd be away from other houses. Anyway, I walked into this house. It didn't look like it was really well insulated or air conditioned or anything like that. But as soon as I walked into this house on a 40 degree day, I was like, oh, this place is really cold. So that's really good. That'll sell well. You know, I didn't get a weird feeling at all. I just kind of thought, oh, it's a cool, you know, the temperature's low in here and that's what people like out here. And so everyone had moved out of the house, but there was some furniture left. And so I looked into, like, there's a long hallway heading right down to the end to where the kitchen is. And to my right, there was the lounge room. And I looked in there, and there was all this furniture that was all facing the wall off in one direction, with a TV that wasn't facing the furniture. It was facing the wall. And all these lounge chairs and couches that were all like in a cinema or something, but it didn't look like someone had set it up. I assumed that someone, when they were moving house, they were gathering up all their furniture and they just put it in there like that for whatever reason. And then on the left hand, and I took a photo, even though as a real estate photographer, you kind of knew they're not going to use that photo to sell the house because it's weird. But what was weirder was on the left-hand side, there was a room, and in the center of the room, it would have been a bedroom, I guess, or there was a mattress on the floor. And on top of the mattress was, I'm guessing, 12 chairs, like just wooden chairs, like stacked up in small rows, all on the mattress. And I kind of went, well, that's weird too. But, I mean, you know, some people are strange and maybe that's how they want to stack up their furniture before they move, before they get it on the truck. And I didn't really think too much about it. The next two rooms off the hallway were empty. And then I got to the kitchen right at the back. And as soon as I walked into the kitchen, it wasn't fear. It was a feeling of despair. Like the overwhelming despair, I guess you could say. It just was really like suddenly the world was a different place for me, and it wasn't very nice. You know, I was doing my job still and kind of very, very aware of this feeling. And I looked in the kitchen. There was this fridge. And the weird thing, the kitchen, none of the kitchen was packed up. The kitchen was perfectly all, you know, the table, chairs, everything fine, unlike the rest of the house. And I looked at the fridge, and the fridge, down the front of the fridge, my immediate thought was like, what is wrong with this fridge? Because all this kind of grey, green goo, kind of, I don't want to say ectoplasm. There was all this stuff just pouring like down the front of the fridge. Like I'd never seen anything like it. And I went, I'll take a photo and I'll get the hell out of the house. And so I took a photo and went, got out of the house. It was about a 15-minute drive back to the office. And as soon as I walked into the office, there was a friend I worked with there, and I said, you've got to come and have a look at this photo because there is something wrong with this house, something wrong with this house. And I loaded the photos up from the camera onto the computer, and there was I said, you've got to see this fridge. This fridge is you know, we looked at the furniture and went, that's a bit weird, but got to the photo of the fridge. There was nothing wrong with the fridge in the photo. The photo was just a white fridge in the kitchen. And, yeah, there was I don't know. I can't explain it, but you couldn't pay me money to go back into that house. I think that's sort of sort of my stories so far.
Just for the listeners, before we started doing this recording, you had a box fall off your shelf, didn't you?
That is true. Just as we had just started talking, a box fell off the shelf. Now that actually reminds me. I had just another quick story, if that's all right. You know, I don't really believe in the best friends sort of stuff. I believe we've all got, you know, friends and stuff. But I guess, you know, a very, 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 very dear friend of mine passed away about 5 years ago or so. And he was a hugely influential and really, really great character and, like, hilarious and brilliant. And I used to paint a lot of art with him, and we were very, very close. And he passed away. It wasn't very pleasant, but obviously wasn't pleasant, but because I was in the country now. And so he passed away back in Melbourne. And so me and his friends and his partner, we were Skyping, you know, like we are, but with video. And I was having a can of Guinness, and we were all just kind of like having a memorial, you know, let's talk about Aaron and let's grieve about him and kind of think of the good things. And I just poured a can of Guinness into a glass, and then we all said cheers to Aaron. Isn't Aaron a great person? And I swear, and this all, you can ask all my friends about this because we have a name for it, and it's called Ghost Can. The can of Guinness that was on the other side of the desk, which is the same desk I'm sitting at now, slid across very slowly and hit my glass as if cheers. And I've got video of that, actually.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, when I say I forget things, there's probably been quite a few things. And so...
So I think probably Aaron was there as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about your friend, man.
Oh, look, it's life. And so, you know, it's never easy, but it's I appreciate the thought. Yeah.
You're going back to this house with the goo. That's it's quite often, you know, you can go into one house and it'd be a completely calm environment. You go into other houses and it is just, like you said, a feeling of dread, like you've just walked into a different time zone near enough.
Yeah. And it's there's no real explanation that I can, you know. It's really strange. I mean, years ago, my dad used to own a secondhand furniture store. This is in the 70s. And people would call him up and say, oh, we've got a bunch of furniture we want you to come and take. And there was a house that was out of town a little bit. This is in up in New South Wales. But he'd go out with his truck or whatever, and there was a house that he had a very similar experience where he walked into this house and the whole front of the house was unoccupied, but it was really hot weather, really cold inside. And he walked to the end of the house and there was this old couple and all the furniture, everything was in the back of the house. And he went, I couldn't help but notice it's like really good air conditioning you've got back there. And this old couple went, oh, no, it's haunted. It's just haunted. So, yeah, we don't go down there anymore. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's very strange.
That's great. I'm going to say, if there was a furniture store, I'd imagine, you know, especially people get quite accustomed to their belongings, you know, and always makes you wonder if you ever buy something, you know, you're going to bring something else home as well as the furniture, you know.
Yeah, well, it's what can be attached to an object. It kind of actually reminds me of another story, if that's all right.
Yeah, work away, man.
So this is about 2 years ago, I think. So it's about another friend passing away. It was a fellow called Tommy, who I just started to get to know. We weren't really close, but we were kind of had this nice connection pretty much straight away. And he came over to my house a little later. He was an Indigenous fella, and he came up to the front door, and he was holding a feather, and he went, I've got a present for you. You know, most of the time you kind of go, someone's holding a feather, whatever. But I didn't. I went, I like this feather. Thank you, Tommy. And I put it on the shelf in the kitchen, and it's sort of sitting in this cup in the kitchen still to this day. And then he was involved with film and stuff, and so he knew I had a background in screenwriting, and so he wanted to ask if I would work on a film script with him, which had a supernatural theme to it, about these young Indigenous men who had committed suicide after being haunted by that's a whole other story. It's a very long story. It's based on fact, up in an island off Queensland, and he'd gotten permission from the elders up there to write this story because he wasn't of that tribe. And I'm a white fella, so I couldn't, you know, I wasn't going to go there. But Tommy asked me because he knows that I know how to write a screenplay. He said, oh, look, can we talk? And I went, sure. And I sent some stuff up to him. He'd sent some stuff to me. But then a short while later, he passed away of a heart attack. And it was a total shock because he was only in his 50s. I was like, oh, poor fella. Anyway, one night, it was 3 in the morning. It was just exactly 3 in the morning. I got woken up just straight away. I'm awake because there's footsteps on the front veranda. I live in a wooden house, so it's everything. You can hear everything everywhere. And the bedroom is just your head. When you go to bed, your head is just to the wall, where then on the other side is the front door, sort of. You know, the veranda's just there. And I heard the footsteps, and I'm just straight awake, straight away, immediately. I knew it was two Indigenous people. I don't know why. I just knew it was a woman and a man. I didn't hear the man, but I heard the woman, and she said very clearly, just put it down there. And then I heard what sounded like a big pot plant going down onto the wooden veranda. Like I was just awake straight away. So I'm just lying there. I don't know. I felt a bit scared. Like I didn't quite know what was going on. And I thought I'll just wait until I hear their footsteps leaving the wooden veranda, because it's an old veranda. It's very noisy. I'll wait until I hear them leave, and then I'll go and see what it is that they've put down at the front door. I'm awake. I'm lying there for an hour, basically, and I don't hear them leave the veranda. I'm assuming they might have just stayed still on the veranda. I don't – no idea. Absolutely no idea. And I get up, and it was an hour late. It was, like, closer to 4 o'clock then, and I get up, and I – look out the front, you know, through the blinds at the front. I checked the back door. I checked everywhere except for the front door where the veranda is, because that was the last thing I wanted to do, because I didn't know what was going to happen when I did that. Eventually, I opened up the front door, and there's nothing. There's no pot, no pot plant, no people, no anything. So then the next day, that evening, I'm sitting on the veranda with my partner. We're chatting away, tell him this story, and here's a thought for a moment. He goes, I know who it was. I went, who? He went, it's Tommy. And as soon as he said Tommy, the lights on my car that's parked in the driveway there, that, you know, when you press your alarm and the lights blink, and the keys are in the house, and that's never happened. As soon as the word Tommy is said, the name of my friend, The car goes boop, boop. So, yeah, there's another story for you, Nick.
I really appreciate you coming on today, Kieran. That's been absolutely fascinating.
Oh, it was nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's great talking to you, man. Yeah, keep in contact.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, Nick.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description, or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
Welcome to the show, Ree.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're also from Victoria.
Yeah.
And that is where your first experience happened.
Would you like to start at the beginning for the listeners, please?
So there's a studio, an artist studio in Williamstown. And this place, yeah, so there's a few artists and we've got our own little corners of the building in there. And so one night I was just, doing some work on some paintings and things like that. And I was just having a break in there because it got a communal kitchen area. And I was just laying down on the couches that they had there. And I looked in the hallway, what I was talking about, like this trolley. Someone actually had brought it in from the street, and they were told beforehand to, put it back, where outside. And like, it doesn't bother me, it was just there, it was doing nothing, but I was just laying there and it kept entering my head, like, the trolley's not out there. And it's just like, why would it bother me? It's not doing anything. So I kind of got this image in my head that, like, I could see myself pushing it in the street, and in this spot across the road, I could see the fence and the little sign, and just I saw it in my head, and I was just like, all right, yeah, whatever. But then it just kept eating at my head, like just, picking in there, and then just like, all right, no, that's enough. I'm going to do it. So I think by the time, I think it was about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock possibly in the morning, I was like, no, finally, just grabbed the trolley. And as soon as I got to the spot that I just saw in my head to put it, I've just rolled it in, and I just remember there's something above. So I've looked up, and it was just round, and it was really, really white. And I just remember that. And around the edges, it was glowing green. It was really pretty green. And I've looked up, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And I've there, and then all of a sudden, it's just gone across the sky, like followed the curve of this, like, the sky, and just gone across, and then over in the distance, just kind of like hidden by, houses, down the street. I thought maybe it was some sort of, something in our atmosphere type thing, just burning up or whatever. But it was kind of really weird the way it moved. Like, it was there above that spot and then moved. So to the side, over in the distance. It didn't have like a trail, a burning trail or anything like that. It was just purely round. It looked like it was pretty far up in the sky. Like, if you can imagine like the stars, it's a normal size star. It's like a dot on a page. And then like the size of a 20-cent coin, of Australian 20-cent, it was like that was the size difference between a star and the object. So it was quite large, but yeah, quite far away. So yeah, that's not sure what it is or whatever. I haven't really looked into much, but yeah, I just thought it was strange. It didn't kind of have like a burning trail of whatever you normally see with things, falling.
Now, around the same time, you were also experiencing some weird dreams, Ree.
Yeah. So it was probably, can't remember the exact dates, but because I've on my Instagram, I can eventually like go back kind of and get a rough date. So that was where I showed you the image, the first one that I sent you, the colourful picture. It was, I think, probably within a few days. So before that happened, I don't remember much of the dream. It's kind of really strange. Like it's just like small flashes, and it's really, I don't know what it is. It's just mainly lights and just shapes. And I remember when I had the dream, I woke up in the middle of the night and I started to paint that image. And it kind of just, just whenever I do those type of images, it's kind of like, like automatic writing type of thing. Like, I just do it with paint and just go with it. And that's just what come out. And just, yeah, like, I try and remember if I do anything like the paintings where I just let it come out, it comes out on paper, those type of images. But if I try and like physically remember like faces and things like that, I literally can't remember what their faces are like or anything like that. It's just flashes of light and shadows. And yeah, that's pretty much like with that one. It was just weird dreams. But I can't describe them, but I can like on paper a lot easier. But yeah, that was like that image I did a few nights before that occurred, that the in the sky.
A few nights before.
Yeah. The glowing green ball, you know, round object that I saw in front of the studio.
And was this your first ever sighting? Had you had any previous?
It probably, I would say, like, my very first, yeah, sighting, like, yeah, physically like that, not like through a dream or anything, like, but yeah, very clear that I could see something. There could have been other times that I've just seen and just not even realised. That was, yeah, the very first clear one that I've seen.
Very interesting. A glowing green edge.
Yeah. So, yeah, the middle was really bright. So it was very, very white. And you couldn't really see, like, anything shaped but just, like, round and white. And the outer edge was, like, a pretty green glowing edge. With the dreams and things that I have had, see, a lot of those other images that I sent through, there are other ones that I've kind of done, you know, similar time, like in at night, waking up from dreams and just kind of just doing them, and from things that I've seen while sleeping. There's a few other ones. Just, I don't know if, like, you want to talk about a little bit, like, my art, a little bit how I kind of do it.
Yeah, please go ahead.
And then it kind of, yeah. Yeah, so I added in with two other ones, the artworks that weren't, like, of faces and stuff, but, like, usually, like, how I do it, like, if I don't do portraits that I, of things that I've seen, I kind of, like, again, like, with automatic writing, I do abstract work. And so I kind of just go with, like, I don't know, just try not to use my thinking brain too much and just kind of just go with feeling and doing shapes and all that stuff, because that's how I, you know, remember my dreams. So it's kind of like, it's hard to explain with words. So I just use brushstrokes. And then what I usually do is take an image of that artwork and I'll mirror it. So then it makes, like, a full image, and then that's the final artwork. I've got the one that I sent through. It's a lot of the purples and greens. It's kind of like there's, like, this woman, like, figure, tiger. She's holding two, like, crystal ball type of thing objects with the eyes, and then it's, like, merges into the middle, and it's kind of like it goes into the green, and it's kind of similar green to, like, that glowing ball that I did see. And it's like it goes, merges into the middle, and then it's kind of got this glowing white figure above her head. And that's kind of like the ones that I've had dreams about as well. So, like, things like that just come out in a lot of my images. Yeah, so a lot of things that coming from an abstract piece, like, come through when you mirror it, and it's just like, well, that's similar to what I've dreamt. So yeah, that's just how I do those ones.
It's very similar to Naomi. She was in the same kind of style.
Yeah, no, I saw that when I watched that episode when you told me about that one, and I was just, some of the things that she was saying, I associated, like, quite heavily with, like, a lot of the things that she was saying. It was really interesting.
Yeah, she certainly does have a positive vibe with it all.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't have, with the dreams that I've had and, like, that experience, it was, you know, I don't feel it in a negative way whatsoever.
After you've painted them, does it help with any memories?
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, some of the memories, it comes, like, when I do some of the images, especially ones of portraits and faces, it's like, you know, I won't say hear anything, but it's like, just like a feeling from that. So it's like things that, like, to say that being, like, has said in the dream, like, oh, I don't know how to explain it, conversations with that image, but not really the image, obviously, but, like, from whoever, like, that was. I don't know, sound crazy. But yeah, like, it does help a little bit. I do have a journal where when I've like looked at the images and like I'll write down some of the dreams like that I have had. Just trying to, because I've got the journal with me. Yeah, so I've got also like in this my journal, because I also have like had, actually it's not just like that experience, but I guess you can call it like, is it, you know, like paranormal experiences as well. I kind of write dreams and like about my art as well in the book. And I'll try and find one that has to do with this place.
But I'm looking at one of your pictures now. The one is purple and green.
Purple and green.
And then the more you look at it, it looks like it's got those eyes, like eyes left and right.
Ah, yeah, that was the one that I was talking about that I mirrored. Yeah.
Okay. A figure at the very back with outstretched arms.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the ones that I did. Yeah, the figure right at the very top, it's the white one.
Yeah.
Like it's glowing, yeah.
The more you look at it, the more you can see.
Yeah. So I see, yeah, those, the that glowing figure, that's what I do see a lot of, yeah, in dreams and things like that. Actually, there's one dream, I think it probably ran about the same time period, but it may have been a bit later. There's one dream that I remember. I can't remember, like, all of what happened in it, but the part that I do kind of remember was, especially after, yeah, looking at that, there was, I had figures like that. I was in a room and there's just, it was just a normal room that from memory. And I just remember this table with like different rocks, different shaped objects. I couldn't even describe what exactly they were, but because I like crystals and stones and minerals, and I have a pretty big fascination with them, not just like in a metaphysical aspect, but also, you know, just chemically and just, you know, as minerals themselves. And so I was dreaming and I was on this table and I was like, some objects were like crystals I could recognize, and then like other objects were like I had no idea identifying what they were. And there was figures like that, and like what I was talking about, I couldn't remember faces. So I kind of like, I don't know, it's a weird effect, but like real life, you know, pixel censoring, it was kind of like, it's really strange. So they were sitting on like this table on the other side. There was a few of them, and I just remember like touching all these objects, and they just let me like touch them and just play around. And I was fascinated because it was fun. It was crystals, so I was like having a good time. But then like I dreamt, I don't know who said it to me or whatever, like, because I can't remember like who it come from. Something told me like they're actually observing how I react to each one of these objects. So it was like, okay, so they're like physically and whatever else that they can detect, you know, like how each one affected. So that was just, yeah, that was one of the dreams that I had, and that's all I kind of remember. And then just, yeah, wake up, and I did, I think the image that I sent you was, there was like, it's just on a sheet of paper. There's one that is like a teal colored with a pink background, and another one, it's like all browns, like the face is like purples and yellow background. So I think it was done around about the time of those, and the one that we were just talking about with the glowing white one above as well.
You seem to have eyes quite a lot in all your pictures.
Yeah, I do. I suppose, yeah, it's just eyes being, you know, a connection and, you know, obviously to the soul type of thing, but also with connecting to, I guess, energy as well around you. So it's kind of like every particle type of thing around you has like some sort of memory, you know, like just a connection to energy itself, yeah.
Have you had any dreams recently?
Recently, yes. There was one, which is actually, it's because I've only recently kind of gotten onto Twitter. So there's a few I found you through there, obviously. And there's just a few other ones, accounts. And I had one dream that was kind of like I started just to write down, just describing a dream. And so, again, like I wake up in the middle of the night and just because I've got a pen and paper handy for this now. I've just recently never used to do it right, like after having a dream. I used to just the next day and like, oh, yeah, I should write that down. But now I've gotten into a habit of having a pen and paper just next to my bed, just ready to go as soon as I wake up. Yeah, one dream that I was having, and so yeah, this was not long after joining Twitter, and I was describing a dream like I was in groups of people, they were all different groups of people in different areas, and each one was given an area to work on. So I kind of, in the dream, I went from like a group to group, and it was like they weren't kind of taking on like what I was doing. So everyone had to improve these areas of living with what was left. So it was an abandoned place. So what was left? And we were all given like these plants to work with and just make the place better. And so I went from group to group. None of them were taking any notice of like what I was doing or what I had to say. Then there was this one area where everyone, all these different groups of people came together. It was just a meeting place. So it wasn't like anywhere special. So it was just a meeting place between all these different groups. I noticed that even though they were all assigned, you know, a task to make all these different places better, this place needed fixing and they all weren't doing anything because it wasn't a task that they were assigned. So I was there in the dream, and because I didn't have a place to fix up or anything, you know, I wasn't a part of a group. So I just started, you know, doing it. So then like once they kind of noticed like, oh, you know, he's doing something. They've all kind of joined in and just helped just to, you know, just for something to do. And so in my book, I was just writing, you know, just journaling what it was. And then got towards the end. And then all of a sudden, because I do in my art, but, you know, automatic writing. So sometimes I can, you know, just get things. So I just kind of did it from feeling. And then all of a sudden I was writing. And then it turned into dot points. It kind of turned into like a message, like from, I don't know, from me maybe, like, or from something. But it just what I got from the dream, it was kind of like to work the dot points where, you know, to work with what you've got and use my gifts. You can only do what you can do. You start if you can't follow or fit in. Do what you feel needs to be done, and people only see once you begin. So I wrote that down, and then I've looked at the clock and it was 4:44. And I was like, okay. So I just wrote that down. And then I just wrote at the bottom of it, like it was a message in quote marks, Mr. Bean. I don't know where that came from. That just came to me. And then I've gone on, I think, Twitter, and I can't remember the account that it is. All of a sudden, it was like they posted a picture of a distorted Mr. Bean. I don't like a meme thing. And then all they've said was tough crowd today. And it was, yeah, done directly the next day after I had that message from a dream from a Mr. Bean. Yeah. It was just a strange coincidence. But anyway, yeah, that happens. Strange coincidences like that just happen a lot. Yeah, I just find it amusing.
What do you think your dreams are? Do you think it is connected with your sight in any way?
Yeah, no, I do. I've had quite a lot of dreams like that where it's like, I guess you could say like very coincidental type of thing, but when it happens a lot, definitely something more to it. I've learnt now to kind of take notice of dreams and feelings, you know, having that feeling of moving that trolley into that spot that I saw, and I was like, and at that exact spot and time, you know, I saw the object. So it's kind of like when stuff like that happens over and over, you kind of learn to kind of listen and note down dreams and, yeah, just gut feelings and stuff. You kind of learn to pay attention to them.
With the trolley, it's very interesting.
Yeah, no, I just find it strange. Like, because I just saw it in my head, put it, like, with no thoughts about anything else. It was just like, you must, you know, that spot, that's it, just get it there, like, no matter what, just get it there. And it was just annoying me, like, I'm like, fine, I'll do it, and then just do it. And then I just find it strange that at that very time and place, you know, the second I rolled it, I just still remember, I can see it in my head still, like, it was almost like slow motion, you know, just slow, and just put it in, and then just looking up and seeing that object, you know, there at that very time.
Yeah, it's like you were actually led to do it.
Yeah, just because I suppose, yeah, just listen to gut instinct type of thing a lot, because just led to do it for some reason, whatever, I don't know why or, you know, what it was, but it happened, so that's it.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
It's important to listen.
Yeah. There's a few dreams that, like, that I've had that have really, really taught me to listen to that, because it's just, it's so strange and coincidental. Like, you just can't ignore once, you know, things like one dream that I had in 2012, my mother, she passed away, and there was a few years later, I was having a dream, and it was like a normal, just weird dream, you know, nothing makes sense, it's just blah blah. And all of a sudden I remember in the dream, like, hearing my phone ring, and I've picked, and it looked exactly like my phone, so that and I remember in the dream going, that's weird, that's my phone, and looking, and it was her number calling. I still remember, like, slowly picking up the phone and just thinking how weird it was that she would be calling, because she's no longer around. So I was like, okay. So I've, like, clicked and answered, and it was like clearly her voice, and it was, but it was rushed, and she was like, don't go to the fashion show, you know, of all the things to, you know, have someone say, is like, don't go to the fashion show. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not the type of person to even go to a fashion show. She's like, nah, don't go. And then, because I obviously wasn't, you know, paying attention type of thing, she's just, well, we have a mutual friend, and she's just like, go see her if you don't believe me. And I'm like, oh, all right, fine, I'll go do that then. So the next day, our friend, she's a tarot reader. So I was like, all right, if she wants me to go see her, I'll just not say too much, and I'll just get a tarot reading, just see if, you know, she picks up on anything. Maybe there's something there. And so she didn't pick up that anything bad was kind of like happening with this. And it took me a while to realize the fashion show eating away at me, because I couldn't think of like what fashion show. But then later on in the year, I was meant to go to Queensland, and I was meant to have a stall there for my jewelry that I used to make years ago. And, you know, because it was an alternative fashion market thing. So I'm like, there you go. It was like a fashion show. I'm like, all right, cool. So my friend, she couldn't see anything. And so I've asked, just like, well, was the plane going to go down, you know, when I go up there? Like, maybe that's why. And she said, no, I don't feel like that. She goes, I feel it's got something to do with people and the place. I'm like, okay. So then I showed her the magazine ad for the market, and she noticed the date. It was on the 17th of November, and she's instantly gone, no, don't go. So I'm like, all right. She said, no. She actually, this friend of ours, she has a phobia of the number 17. And she said, no, anything bad that's happened in my life has always been on the 17th, so just don't go. I'm like, all right, cool. That's probably why, you know, I was kind of, you know, told, well, see the friend if, you know, I don't believe her. So I'm like, all right, thanks, Mom. You know, I cancelled and didn't go. So months later, just not even thinking about the event at all because, you know, it's gone. I'm not doing it. And I remember being in our family room. Dad's at the table, you know, he's reading his newspaper and he's got the TV on and the news is going. And I've looked and it was the news story was flash flooding in Queensland. All right, cool. And then I've just turned to him and like, what's the date today? And he's gone the 17th. And I'm like, all right, that's really weird. And so I would have been up there during that time. And it was around that area as well where it was flooded. So I'm like, all right, cool. Thanks, Mum, for that, you know, heads up. And then apparently the event itself also, they were rained a little bit on in this area where they were. So it wasn't too bad. So it didn't really get flooded there. But apparently the event itself had trouble with people attending the event. They had to have police and all that because, you know, they were targeting some of the stall holders and things. So I was just like, all right, cool. I'm glad I didn't go because knowing my luck with, you know, some people, you know, who knows, like I would have been one of the people that was targeted. You know, because I have really bad luck like that. People always seem to focus in, like, on me. If they're going to do something, they're going to, like, all right, cool. So that was an interesting dream to have. And then that exact day and that area.
Certainly was a heads up from your mum, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I was like, well, thanks, Mum. That's a good one. So when I've had dreams like that, when, you know, I've only really had dreams, it's kind of like through, like, not of her directly. It's kind of like, you know, again, it was through a phone in the dream, like electronic devices, you know. So it's kind of like that's how it's kind of like how she communicates in a way. That's just really strange. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
As you'd expect.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But that was that was kind of like a cool little coincidence that kind of taught me, you know, like, all right, cool, listen to those times.
Yeah, certainly if you've got a history of being vulnerable as well.
Yeah. Like, it just, I don't know, just always seemed to be, like, the one person that, I don't know, people just seem to just hone in on and, like, oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm just here. Like, why?
There's always going to be people like that.
Yeah, just a magnet for it, I think.
Exactly. Some people are just a magnet.
Yeah. I do have, like, I don't know, because, like, I know this is not, like, UFO related, so it's more dreams and, like, I don't know, not paranormal, but yeah, just whatever. Another the one other major thing that's kind of taught me to listen to, like, I don't know, you know, the inner voice or, you know, instinct or whatever you want to call it. Actually, when I was quite a few years ago, so it would have been 2005. Yeah, I was pregnant with my son. And so I had a few weird dreams while I was pregnant, but the one that kind of stands out the most was I was dreaming that I was in some sort of, like, you know, like the convenience stores, you know, so you got fridges of the drinks and, you know, the shelves of, like, all the stock and all that stuff. And it's in a street where it's like there's buildings above and it's all just one big block and, you know, there's this little store in there. And I was like a person in there with a, I guess, to me the fashion, it was just like hip-hop 90s type of thing. So with like a group of friends and we were in there and then like there was basically another group kind of come into the shop and then there was like this big, you know, like shootout. And I won't get into like the details of like, yeah, the violence of it, but it was quite detailed. So the main part was like, I remember looking down at my leg and like in this spot, the lower leg, you know, sticking out. So it was like either, you know, shot or something, you know, like that. Yeah, it was very vivid and violent. And it's just like, it's just not really my usual type of dream. And so then fast forward, I told the only person that I've really told this dream was, you know, to maybe a couple of close friends and my mum. But before my son was born, I only had told my mother. This is like, that was the only person I kind of discussed anything, you know, weird to. And so fast forward to when he was born, the second, you know, she was in the delivery room with me And so they've kind of like thrown this 10-pound baby on me, and I've looked down at his leg, and literally at the exact spot where, like, in that dream where there was something poking at, like, where I got shot, he actually has a birthmark there. Like, there's no other marks on him, but, like, literally on the leg in that spot. So, yeah, that's just, yeah, one other weird dream.
I've always thought birthmarks are from something in a past life.
Yeah, so, well, I've always, like, yeah, I've read that too, and, you know, before. And, you know, I was just like, well, yeah, that could be a thing. Like, and then, like, I literally, yeah, and then, I don't know, it's just really weird. Like, you know, I've got this little being growing inside me, and then having a weird dream that I wouldn't normally dream, and then, like, all of a sudden he's got a birthmark in that exact spot, and it's just like, yeah, I think it's a thing. Like, because, yeah, it was just, I was like, wow, yeah, I'm not going to dispute that now at all.
You know, I think a lot of people have unusual dreams. They don't really take much heed.
Yeah.
Much heed to it, wouldn't it, you know, which I think they probably should.
Yeah, no, yeah, they definitely should. Like, you know, a lot of things are just not going to mean anything, but there's always, you never know. You just never exactly. know, yeah.
I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing some of your experiences.
Share some stuff that I haven't really shared to anyone. All right, well, thanks for having me.
That is all for today. If you enjoyed the show, let your friends and neighbours know. And remember, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to share on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or via the website ufochroniclespodcast.com. And you can also send me your short voice submissions. I will be back next week with another witness encounter. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.